WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Of course, you expect me to tell you that Fletch Lives is bad, and I won't disappoint you, it is. But it's not utterly bad. You just have to get used to its pace and proclivities. For instance, once you realize that 4 out of 5 jokes in this movie will fall flat, you may find yourself quite immoderately enjoying that 5th joke. Once you recognize that Chevy Chase will fall down or crash into something every 3 or 4 minutes, and not amusingly, you begin to tolerate it. The sleepy slapstick comes to seem like a kind of living furniture, just part of the movie's decor. The plot, which is more neatly worked out than it has any reason to be, hinges on Fletch's inheritance of his late aunt's run-down plantation. With visions of a new, laid-back, zippity-doo-dah lifestyle dancing in his head, the intrepid reporter leaves California for rural Louisiana, and you know we're in for it from the moment he arrives. The director, Michael Ritchie, has turned the whole movie into a spangly, overblown parody of the Deep South. Not the South as it is, but the South as we have long monitored it through the entertainment media. Shuffling blacks, fat white sheriffs, shameless evangelists, and a rather shaky Scarlett O'Hara, rather shakily played by Julianne Phillips. And mostly Chevy Chase's Fletch, in disguise as any one of a number of crackers. In this scene, for instance, he pretends to be a professional bug buster, on the lookout for various subtropical termites.
Aha! I got one. See that? Ah, these little buggers are the piranhas of the insect world. The only thing they like better than wood is human flesh.
Really?
You bet.
Well, if you can't see it, how do you know you got one?
Well, I'm glad I asked that question. They make this horrible, high-pitched noise. It's kind of like a tiny little scream. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? It's like a tiny little piglet. No? Let me see. Uh-oh. I seem to have dropped it in your ear.
What?
Fletch Lives is a sequel, of course, and the original Fletch was a sizable hit, but I had no use for it. The reason I like this one so much better is that the filmmakers have hit upon a wise solution to the Chevy Chase problem. In his other movies, Chase has presented himself, not unreasonably, as a human being, a creature like us, with feelings, thoughts, opinions, needs, all of which is wonderful in a comedy if you have an actor who can bring you those dimensions and still remain funny, a Cary Grant, for instance, or a Woody Allen, even a Tom Hanks. But Chase isn't in that league. The number of dimensions he can bring to a role is in the very low single digits. So what the filmmakers have realized is that although Chase looks like a presentable leading man, he belongs much more to the haywire caricature school of comic acting. Actors who were ferociously funny, but never seemed quite to be people. At the top of the list, performers like the Marx Brothers, W.C. Fields, Laurel and Hardy. Chase probably belongs on the Lou Costello level. But he's much funnier when he's not forcing us to impute to him real emotions and anxieties, when the death of a girlfriend can merely be an occasion for a smutty double entendre, or when his own impending doom can simply spur him on to increasingly frantic displays of born-in-the-barn gaucherie. In fact, although this may not be a particularly impressive accolade, it seems to me that Fletch Lives is probably the best Chevy Chase movie yet. By which I mean, it's bad, of course, but not utterly bad.